Good morning, and thank you for joining us on 5 at 8. It's Thursday, April 11th, 2024, and here's Linda Carlisle and Mark Overman with today's top news. In this episode, we'll talk about Fitch downgrading China's credit rating outlook, intelligence reports revealing China's meddling in Canada's elections, U.S. and Japan agreeing on defense cooperation pacts to counter China, the Biden administration establishing national standards to limit harmful chemicals in drinking water, and the U.S. and Japan announcing new agreements to counter China's aggression. Story number one. In a report from CNN, Fitch downgraded China's credit rating outlook from stable to negative due to increasing financial risks amid economic challenges. The agency believes the government deficit will rise, but China's finance ministry expressed regret over the revision and emphasized the positive role of fiscal policy in promoting economic growth. The ministry remains confident in China's long-term economic trend and ability to maintain good sovereign credit. What's your take, Linda, on this recent move by Fitch to downgrade its outlook on China's credit rating? It's a bit concerning, don't you think?
It is a bit concerning. The downgrade reflects increasing risks to China's public finance outlook. China is in the middle of a major economic transition, moving away from a growth model that relied heavily on property to one that the government believes is more sustainable. It's a complex situation.
Right. A transition like that is bound to stir up some uncertainty. But what about this increase in government deficit that Fitch is talking about? I mean, from 5.8% last year to a projected 7.1% in 2024, that's quite a jump, isn't it?
It is, Mark. The pandemic has heavily weighed on public finances, and this year's deficit is expected to be the highest since 2020. However, it's important to note that China's finance ministry has expressed regret over the revision, stating that Fitch's methodology fails to reflect the positive role of fiscal policy in promoting economic growth.
Interesting point, Linda. So they're arguing that running a moderate deficit and using debt funds effectively can actually support economic growth and maintain good sovereign credit, right?
They are also keeping the fiscal budget deficit ratio for 2024 at 3%, which they describe as overall moderate and conducive to stable economic growth.
Now, this isn't the first time we've seen a ratings agency downgrade China's credit outlook. Moody's did the same thing back in December. Is this a pattern we should be worried about?
It's definitely something to keep an eye on, Mark. But remember, a downgrade in outlook doesn't automatically mean a downgrade in creditworthiness. It just increases the chances. It's a signal to the market, and how investors respond to that signal will be crucial.
Ah, got it. So it's kind of like a heads up to investors. Well, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds and what impact it'll have on China's economy in the long term. Thanks for the insightful discussion, Linda.
My pleasure, Mark. These complex economic issues are always interesting to dissect. Let's keep an eye on how this situation develops.
Story number two. Intelligence reports reveal China's sophisticated and persistent meddling in Canada's 2019 and 2021 elections. Prime Minister Trudeau faces accusations of not taking foreign interference seriously, with his Liberal Party believed to have benefited from China's actions. Public hearings have shed light on how rising foreign powers exploit Canada's democratic institutions, according to the New York Times. Have you heard about this, Linda? These intelligence reports detailing China's alleged interference in Canada's elections? They're describing it as sophisticated, pervasive, persistent. It's pretty unsettling to see foreign nations allegedly meddling in the electoral processes of sovereign nations.
Yes, Mark, it's a deeply concerning situation. It's not just about China's alleged interference in Canada. This highlights a larger issue that countries all over the world are grappling with, that of foreign influence in their domestic politics. The democratic integrity of a nation is at stake here.
It's like a new kind of warfare, isn't it? We're not talking about boots on the ground. We're talking about influencing public opinion, swaying elections, destabilizing governments. Heck, we've seen Russia being accused of similar actions in the 2016 U.S. elections.
This form of interference, if true, is highly insidious. It's not just about influencing electoral outcomes, but it also risks sowing discord and mistrust among the public. The most alarming part, according to these reports, is how these foreign powers appear to be exploiting diaspora communities to advance their interests.
Right, Linda, it's a double whammy for these communities. They're being used as pawns in a larger geopolitical game, and then they're potentially ostracized or scrutinized because of it. It, quote, S, dot, 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 IT, quote, S, not fair on them.
True, Mark. It's a complex issue that requires a nuanced understanding and response. Simply pointing fingers or launching accusations won't solve the problem. There needs to be a concerted effort to safeguard our democratic institutions from external interference, while ensuring the rights and freedoms of diaspora communities are protected.
Couldn't agree more, Linda. It's a delicate balance, isn't it? National security on one hand, individual freedoms on the other. But hey, that's why we have these discussions, to grapple with these tough questions. Story number three. During a White House state visit, the U.S. and Japan have agreed on 70 defense cooperation pacts, aiming to counter China. The agreements include joint military exercises, missile defense networks, and technology partnerships. The two nations also discussed tensions between Taiwan and China, as well as Russia's aggression in Ukraine. Japan is taking on a more global role, with a focus on security and technology advancements. The visit included discussions on potential cooperation with the U.S.'s AUKUS defense partnership. The Japanese PM will address Congress and meet with the Philippines president to address regional security concerns. Biden expressed support for Japan's efforts to initiate dialogue with North Korea, as reported by The Guardian. It's quite a momentous occasion, isn't it, Linda? The United States and Japan strengthening their military cooperation to such a level. The pomp, the ceremony, but more importantly, the substance behind it is quite significant. It's clear that the dynamics in the Asia-Pacific region are shifting rapidly.
It's a significant shift in the geopolitical landscape. This new era of military cooperation between the U.S. and Japan is certainly aimed at countering the rising influence of China in the region. But it's also about creating a more interoperable and effective joint command structure, which is crucial in any crisis situation.
Absolutely. And you know, what really caught my attention in all this is the decision to develop a new air missile defense network, jointly with Australia. It's like they're creating this formidable trilateral force. But of course, Biden is quick to emphasize that all of this is purely defensive and not aimed at any one nation.
It's a delicate balancing act that these nations are performing. They are careful in their choice of words, but their actions speak louder. This move is clearly a response to perceived threats and attempts to change the status quo, whether it's the tension between China and Taiwan or the recent aggression of Russia in Ukraine.
Yeah, and speaking of Russia, I found it interesting when Kishida mentioned that Ukraine today may be East Asia tomorrow. It's a stark reminder that international conflicts are not isolated incidents. They can have ripple effects across the globe.
And it's not just about military cooperation. They are also forming partnerships in technology, including artificial intelligence, which, as we know, can be a powerful tool for both defense and offense. And the ambition of having a Japanese person be the first non-American to walk on the moon, it shows a shared vision for the future, beyond terrestrial concerns.
Couldn't agree more, Linda. This partnership also signifies Japan's transformation over the past decade. From a pacifist constitution to a key player in global security, it's quite a leap. But as Biden pointed out, Japan is also the top foreign investor in the U.S. It's a multifaceted relationship.
Yes. And the future of this relationship will certainly have far-reaching implications, not just for the U.S. and Japan, but for the entire Asia-Pacific region, and potentially the world.
Story number four. The Biden administration has established the first national standard to limit harmful forever chemicals in drinking water in the United States. The new rule aims to reduce exposure to PFAS chemicals, which are linked to various health issues. Water utilities must now filter out five specific PFAS chemicals, with a goal of zero exposure to two of them. The EPA estimates that about 6-10% of water systems will need to upgrade their filtering systems to comply with the new standard. The new regulations also include a $1 billion investment to help states and territories improve testing and treatment for PFAS in water systems. Environmentalists praise the change as a historic breakthrough, although some critics question the cost and effectiveness of the new standards. According to CNN, this news has been reported. What a massive step forward this is, Linda. This national standard to limit PFAS or forever chemicals is a significant move. It's about time we had some regulations in place to protect our drinking water and, in turn, our health.
Yes, Mark. But what's interesting to me is the cost implications. The American Chemistry Council and Dr. Chad Seidel argue that the new standards could put a heavy financial burden on smaller water systems and taxpayers. They're concerned that the cost of this regulation might outweigh the public health benefits, especially for facilities with lower PFAS concentrations.
Yeah, I hear that. It's a valid concern. But look at the flip side, Linda. The EPA estimates the benefits and costs of the standard to be about $1.5 billion. The real benefit, as they say, would be fewer cancers, reduced heart attacks, and lesser birth complications. Can we really put a price tag on that?
I agree, Mark. It's a complex issue. And it's also important to note that the Biden administration is allocating about $1 billion through the bipartisan infrastructure law to help states and territories ramp up testing and treatment for these chemicals. This kind of federal investment is crucial to support such a wide-ranging public health measure.
True, Linda. And it's not just about the money. This move sends a strong message about the administration's commitment to environmental protection and public health. The fact that they're setting an enforceable maximum contaminant level for these chemicals, that's a big deal.
Yes, it is, Mark. However, as significant as this regulation is, let's not forget that it only applies to a handful of the thousands of forever chemicals. The problem is still quite large. We have a long way to go to completely eliminate exposure from drinking water.
You're right, Linda. This is a monumental step forward, no doubt, but it's just the beginning. Our fight against these forever chemicals is far from over. Story number 5. In a report from the New York Times, the United States and Japan announced new agreements on military, economic, climate, and space matters to counter an increasingly aggressive China. President Biden and Prime Minister Kishida reaffirmed their bond and declared unity in confronting Chinese actions. The agreements include upgrading military command functions, exploring co-production of missiles, using Japanese companies for repairs on U.S. naval ships, and potential cooperation in the AUKUS partnership. Additionally, Japan will send astronauts to the moon on American Artemis missions and collaborate on space exploration missions with NASA. Are we looking at an intensified revival of geopolitical alliances, Linda? Considering the recent agreements between the U.S. and Japan, it seems like they're trying to balance the increasing assertiveness of China.
That seems to be the case, Mark. There's no denying the increased international tensions, especially involving China. And it's not just on the military front. There are economic, climate change, and even space exploration aspects to this alliance between the U.S. and Japan.
Right. And it's not just any military cooperation. They're looking at upgrading their command and control functions, co-producing advanced missiles, and even potentially involving Japan in the AUKUS submarine deal. That's quite the upgrade, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a clear signal of an intensified alliance. These announcements show the two nations are preparing for a variety of possible scenarios. The inclusion of private companies for repairs on U.S. naval ships based in Japan also indicates a deeper integration of military infrastructure.
And then there's the space exploration part, with Japan getting two spots on future American Artemis moon missions. Plus, they're collaborating on the Dragonfly mission and the next-gen space telescope. Kinda reminds me of the space race during the Cold War era, doesn't it?
It does have some parallels, Mark. Space exploration has always been a field where nations can showcase their technological prowess. But it's also a field that requires immense resources, making international cooperation beneficial. Including Japan in these missions could be seen as a way to strengthen relations and share the burden of these costly endeavors.
I see. So where do we go from here? What could be the implications for China and other nations?
Well, China's reactions will certainly be worth watching. Their actions have been a significant factor in this U.S.-Japan alliance upgrade. As for other nations, these alliances could potentially reshape the geopolitical landscape and influence global political and economic dynamics. It's certainly an evolving situation that we need to keep an eye on.
Definitely so, Linda. Thanks for your insights. It's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Sure thing, Mark. As always, we'll be here to discuss and analyze these developments as they unfold.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.